Good morning and welcome to Calendar Bay Church Online. I'm Pastor John Intoff and thank you so much for being a part of our online service this Sunday. We hope and pray that it ministers to you where you are. We're really thankful for a great week this week at our soccer camp here at the church. Thanks to Wilma and Patricia for organizing the week and all the good things that happened, including a couple decisions by kids to follow Jesus. And so we rejoice with the angels in those decisions. And thanks to all the people who came out and helped. It was just a fun time. Great work, everybody. Two thumbs up to everybody. And also, I get to wear a soccer shirt this week, so I got my Dutch soccer uniform on. And I think that's just great. Also, we continue to be under COVID-19 restrictions and some big changes that are going to be taking place in the next few weeks. School's going to be starting again, but also we're going to be restarting our services here at Calendar Bay Church. And so that's going to be taking place August 30, 10:30 a.m. You can be a part of our service. Now, there are going to be some changes because of the restrictions that we're under. One is that you need to pre-register your attendance before you come. And so you need to go to our webpage, calendarbaychurch.ca, and follow the links, and you can get yourself registered. And that's the way that's the best and easiest to do it. But if that's not something you're comfortable with and you just want to phone the church, you can do that. 705-752-1649. But you need to make sure that you register before 9:30 a.m. on Thursday. So 9:30 a.m. on Thursday, you need to have yourself pre-registered. One of the other major changes is that you also need to be wearing a mask when you come. We're a public building, and so that's a requirement that you have to have. I have my Toronto Maple Leafs mask, which I don't know if that's really good for stopping anything. I also have a Raptors mask, and you can wear whatever mask that you want to do that. And so we're really looking forward to it. Just make sure that you pre-register 10:30 a.m. on Thursday. You have to pre-register. Service will be Sunday at 10:30 a.m. And if you need any more information about that, you can call the church or you can email the church or you can check out information on Facebook or our webpage. We're really pleased to be able to continue to offer our prayer service on Monday nights at 7 a.m. Now, you do need to pre-register for that. So if you're interested in coming to our prayer meeting on Monday night at 7 o'clock, you can pre-register by emailing me or calling the church. Thank you so much for your continued support of the church by giving. We have been so blessed and encouraged by your faithfulness in this regard, and we encourage you to keep doing that. And so there's two ways that you can do that. One is by giving online, and it's very simple and very safe. All you have to do is go to our webpage, calendarbaychurch.ca, go to the About tab, and then it has ways that you can give, and you can do that. And once you get it set up once, you don't need to do it again. You can also mail your gift to the church, and our address here at the church is Box 218-888, Calendar Bay Drive, Calendar, Ontario, P0H1H0. So thank you again for your continued support. We've been doing some different things to stay connected. One way that you can stay connected here at the church is by joining our Facebook group. The other is by getting our daily encouragement email that we send out 6 days a week. And so you can go to info or email info at calendarbaychurch.ca and we'll make sure that you get on that list if you're not already on it. We also have our prayer chain up and functioning. And so if you email your prayer requests to prayerchain@calendarbaychurch.ca, we'll make sure that those that are on the prayer chain pray for your requests. As you know, one of the great things about being in this time is that there's still no limitations on prayer, and God is able to hear us when we pray. lots of other online church resources, posted some other things. I'm going to mention those in my message in just a few minutes. But there are some great resources that are available there, and we continue to update those. And so please go to calendarbaychurch.ca and enjoy those great resources. You can get caught up on messages that you've missed. And so great resources available on our webpage. Well, we want to sing and worship the Lord this morning, and this song just expresses such a beautiful thought, how great is our God. And as we sing it, let's sing it from our hearts and worship Him this morning. How great is our God. Well, we're continuing a series of messages that I've entitled Helping You Navigate Life, going through some of the issues that our society is facing. And if you haven't had a chance to watch some of the other messages that we've had in the series, I would really encourage you, as we've talked about some really important issues. And what we want to try to do is some of these issues, you know, the Bible doesn't speak directly, but we know that the Bible teaches principles on these things, and we know that God's word is truth, and so we want to build principles to be able to deal with and talk about these issues. And so we've been doing that, and so I would encourage you to check out the other messages in this series. Well, I want to kind of go on a Well, it's a bit of a sentimental journey for me. You know, the other day I was in my shed and I was going through my special box, you know, the box of stuff from when I was a kid, and I was looking at report cards and pictures and birthday cards and Valentine's and my Sunday school attendance certificate. And so I wanted to kind of take a little bit of a road trip back, and I want to go back to 1990, because 1990 was a very significant year in my life. In 1990, I graduated from Bible college. It was April, and I completed my four-year Bachelor of Theology program. Now, it did take me 6 years to complete it, but that's another story for another day. And so for me, I'd been involved in helping with church stuff, but this was when things really shifted and changed. I completed my theology, and then in the next few weeks, a couple other significant things happened. On May 8th, 1990, I was licensed with the missionary church, and I also did on Tuesday evening, they had the people who were licensed state their call. Now, this is kind of a funny story because I really didn't know it was that big of a deal. I was kind of new on the whole scene, and I had never been to a licensing stating call thing. And so they had told me I just needed to, in a few words, express what was on my heart and why I was feeling called to ministry. And that would be about it. And Jen asked me, should I come to this? And I'm going, oh, no, I don't think it's that big of a deal, you know. And then I went and I did this, and everybody had their family members. They were all dressed up. And there I was, and I can't even remember if I dressed up that much. And I was kind of shocked and surprised and by the bigness of this whole deal. And I remember on that night, I stated how much that I felt called by God to, particularly in the area of youth ministry. At that point in my life, I was feeling called to help out with youth because I wanted to see youth develop and grow and become an active part in the church. And that continued on because in May of 1990, I also started my first professional ministry job at Lincoln Heights Church in Waterloo. And so I was the, it was bigger than that. I think I still have the sign in my office of youth university ministries, children's ministries. I had a big job description that was my part, but the main focus that I had there was youth ministry. And so in 1990, I kind of kicked off ministry. And then it's been going on now, and I celebrated my 30th year in ministry this year. And in 1990, to quote Timbuk 3, the band from the 80s, the future was so bright it got to wear shades. You know, I was looking so forward to getting involved in full-time ministry. I was excited about all the things that God was going to do. And as I've reflected on 30 years in ministry, I've seen the good, the bad, and the ugly. Wah, 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 wah. That was my good, the bad, the ugly thing. And, you know, I've seen God do some really great and amazing things. You know, even the fact of the story behind the start of Calendar Bay Church is just an amazing story. And I had the opportunity to work alongside with so many great youth, and many have gone into or into full-time ministry, you know, and it's just been an amazing and good thing of seeing God do so many good things. But there's also been the bad. You know, since I've been in ministry, I've only been in ministry in three churches, and two out of the three have had some kind of major fracture in the time when I was either immediately following or during my time there. And really not positive things. And so as I reflect, you know, there have been many relational problems, marriage breakups, you know, and you see all the bad stuff that can happen around church ministry. And then there's also been the really ugly things. You know, when I first started ministry at Lakeshore in North Bay, when Pastor Cam and his two-year-old son Josiah passed away in a boating accident, what an awful, awful thing. And then to experience what our family went through, and you did as well, with the loss of our son, some really incredibly difficult and hard things. And so ministry has just been this jumbled thing of good, the bad, and the really awful and ugly things. And as I reflect on 30 years, there's one particular area where I feel particularly disappointed, that I'm disappointed. Over the last decade or so, there's been an incredible trend of young people, the people that when I originally was called into ministry, I felt was the area that I wanted to focus my attention. And even though I've been a senior pastor now for 18 years, I still have an incredible heart for kids ministry and youth ministry. And so to see what is going on, particularly with youth going into young adults and the exodus of people that are in this age group leaving the church, is personally distressing to me. And so today I want to talk about helping us navigate this exodus, living in the exodus of people, young adults, who were once in the church and now have left the church. The statistics are quite staggering. These are some Canadian stats. Only one in three Canadian young adults who attended church weekly as a child still does so today. So that's one in three, 33%. And the other stat that I want to give to you today is that of the young adults who no longer attend church, half, so of that 66% that have now left the church, because 33% have stayed, 50% of that group that left no longer identify themselves with a Christian tradition that they were raised. So they're also, they've gone so far that not only are they not practicing, they no longer believe it. And so this is something that is of great concern and personal distress to me. Now, also tied with this is the fact that as a parent, I've seen this happen in my own family. And so how difficult, and I know that there are parents who are watching this today that are in the same boat as me. And so here we are in this place where so many young people, after they finish high school, walking away from the church and ultimately walking away from faith. And why is that happening? Well, a study from the United States came up with some reasons why. It's come from a book called You Lost Me. And this is what it says. It says that churches seem to be overprotective. And so kind of trying to protect the world from the big bad, or protect the kids in the church from the big bad world. And so from our parenting perspective, that sounds pretty good to me. But from a teenage perspective, they see that as a negative thing, that the church is too overprotective, that the experience that they had when they were in the church was shallow. So they had the very shallow experience of Christianity. It seemed like more do's and don'ts and activity more than it was a very deeply spiritual experience. Churches were seen as very antagonistic towards science, that it didn't seem very rational to them, that there was this conflict that was taking place between church and science, and that was causing conflict. Church's teaching on sexuality was very simplistic and judgmental. And so they saw that what the church was teaching maybe interfered with what they wanted to do, but also that the answers that we gave them were way too simplistic. And when they messed up, we were very judgmental of their behavior. And so here we have and one of the reasons why. The exclusive nature of Christianity, that it's our way or you know, it's the highway. So we are exclusive in our beliefs. And so that became, in a world that was kind of encouraging them to coexist, they found it to be a very contradictory belief. And so the coexist movement and the exclusiveness of Christian claims were causing conflict. And the church was also seen as unfriendly towards those who doubted. And so if you doubted some of the faith thing and you started to ask questions, then it was seen as very unfriendly and would often throw you under the bus very quickly if you did express any doubts about your faith. And so all these have come together, and there wasn't one that particularly stood out. It was just a number of these things all came together. One was not more than the other. You know, it was just kind of this common thread that made the young people say that, you know what, I really don't know if I can stay in this any longer. The Apostle Paul taught about, you know, reaching people. You know, the Apostle Paul was very much into making sure that the message of Jesus got out to people. And so the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 9, 22 and 23 says this: "To the weak I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all people, so that by all possible means I might have saved some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings." And so the Apostle Paul talks about making adjustments and changes to what he does in order to be able to have the highest possibility of being able to reach people with the message of Jesus. And there's a couple thoughts I want to pull out from this scripture. Number one is that it took effort on the Apostle Paul's part in order to be able to do that. He had to think about, you know, what is the most effective way of reaching this group of people? And what can I do in order to be able to do that? And so it wasn't they need to adjust to the way that I do things. There was effort on his part in order to be able to do that. Then the other side is that there was adjustment that needed to take place. And so Paul says that if we really want to make sure that we reach people with the message of Jesus, we have to make sure that we do have effort and that we adjust things in order to be able to try to accommodate people and where they're at. And so the fact that 66% of young adults in Canada are walking away from faith shows that this is a group that needs effort, and we need to figure out what we need to adjust in order to be able to try to reach them. Because if we just kind of One of the false sets of logic that I read about is that there's an assumption that, kids will be kids and eventually they'll return. Stats are showing that that concept is completely untrue in this culture. That they are not returning. That they are staying away and wandering from faith. And so the Apostle Paul would say, if he was talking to us today, he would say, you know what? It's going to take some effort on your part. And you got to figure out how to adjust what you're doing in order to be able to try to figure this out. And so how do we do this? How do we navigate this crisis? What effort do we need to take? What adjustments do we need to make? And so I want to give us, in the time that we have remaining, some ideas on kind of three different levels. Because there are three levels that I think are very significant as we move in this. And the first is when you still have younger kids at home. Because these are foundational days. And we need to remember that building faith at home has never been more important. Doing foundational things when you have kids under your influence, if you wait until they're teenagers to be able to start thinking about and trying to put some effort, it may be too late. Now that I'm at the point where my kids have all gone through school and are at they're all adults now, boy, I was talking to my wife today about this, and I said, you know, do you think there was anything that we could have done better? We could have adjusted. I know you can't play that what if game, but I was actually honestly seeking to see what is it that we could have done better? Where could we have put more effort in? What would, and in some regards, you know, I'd love to be able to do some of these things again, knowing the perspective that I have now. And so some important things about establishing faith at home is, number one, when you have kids, it needs to be authentic and it needs to be active. Your faith needs to be something that is real and that they see, and also that it is active in the sense that they see you living it out. So it needs to be real, that when push comes to shove, when crisis happens, they see that there is authenticity in your relationship with Christ. Because in this day and age, being a Sunday Christian and Monday being something totally different is not going to work anymore. They're not going to go, and they're going to see right through that. And so there needs to be both authentic and it needs to be active. We need to make sure that we resource ourselves. I put a couple of resources. I mentioned this earlier. I put a couple of resources. One is a study by the Evangelical Fellowship of Canada, which was called Hemorrhaging Faith. And it's a PDF. It's about 139 pages. Lots of information about what is going on in our society. It was made in the early, I think it was 2011 to 2013 that whole study was taking place. And so that information is available on our webpage in an article called Hemorrhaging Faith. They also did a follow-up article, which was just released, called Renegotiating Faith, talking about some of the same trends and how we can try to work them out in our society. And so those are available. There's great books that are out there. There's books, Rock Solid Kids by Fowler. There is Sticky Faith by Chap Clark, just about trying to help so that their faith is going to stick when they get older. And so these are great resources, and there are tons of other resources that are out there. The Build Faith at Home, Mark Holman's book, another classic in this regard. there are tons of resources that are out there. Make sure that you try to resource yourself as best as you possibly can in order to be able to help lay good foundations so that you can create in them sticky faith, faith that is going to stick when they start to get older. And so it is so important to be able to lay those foundations when they're younger. Create partnerships. Try to partner with grandparents, other parents. You know, try to resource as much as you possibly can and partner with people, because you don't want to have it that you are the sole spiritual influence in your child's lives. Make the net bigger. Make sure that it's wide so that as much as you possibly can within the restrictions that we have, make sure that you're creating partnerships as best as you possibly can. Watch for consumerism and busyness. This is a new trend that's happening, is that consumerism is beginning to lose its luster, and people are trying to find meaning for with things that are deeper than the things that we can buy. And busyness is now becoming, we used to be so busy with activities. One of the great things that happened with COVID was that we were forced to not be busy. Because busyness is a treadmill of activity that is not going to build faith in a way that is going to be good. And so we want to make sure that we watch for these things, and so that they don't have a negative influence on building faith in our children. The second area is that we need to be, and this area is more for those that are in the trenches of having teenagers and that age group in your home still. What you need to try to do as much as possible is create connection. Create connection. And so how do we do that? Number one, conversation. Make sure that you are open in your conversation and not judgmental. Allow for them to discuss. Allow for them to doubt. Allow for them to question. Create an environment that is good for questioning and conversation. If we come with too strong of opinions and too strong of judgments and restrictions, we are going to find that they buck against those. I think it was Josh McDowell that said, rules without relationship leads to rebellion. And that is still holds true today. I heard that many years ago, that we need to make sure that we maintain the relationship. And that is by creating an environment where conversation is good. And this spreads to those that are serving in youth ministry. The conversations that take place are probably more significant than the activity. So please make sure conversation is king. Make sure the conversations happen. That they need to be engaged and not entertained. This is one of the interesting trends that I found to be fascinating, is that this generation is far more interested in being engaged. That's why often they're more interested in going on a missions trip, which some of the studies show that a couple activities are really been helpful in keeping kids active in faith. One was actively serving through some kind of mission trip. The other, very interesting, is camp ministry. That the relationships they built in camp were able to help them develop and stay with their faith. And so camp ministry has an interesting, and so it's bad that camps were not able to run, but I know some of the youth that have been involved with Camp Mishawa and Camp Oshpakum and the positive relationships, and now these are the ones that are becoming youth leaders and serving, because they were actively involved in camp ministry and then took on responsibilities of being camp leaders, and then it spilled over into adulthood as well. So very interesting. Mentoring is so important. The getting connected with, and so if you are a parent, try to see if there is somebody who can be a mentor to your child. Mentoring relationships, in Renegotiating Faith, the new study put out by the Evangelical Fellowship of Canada, just showed the impact of mentoring relationships and how that was one of the key influences that helped kids stay in the faith. It's not a guarantee, but they had a much higher possibility of sticking with faith by being in a mentoring relationship with a positive role model. And the other is kind of the third piece is intentional leadership. Intentional leadership is a significant part in seeing kids and young adults stay in the faith. That leadership was intentional about what they did. You know, it's kind of like with the Apostle Paul we talked earlier about. The adjustments that he made in order to be able to try to reach people. Leadership needs to be intentional in what they are doing. Asking the hard questions. Not just accepting the status quo. Not just doing things because that's the way we've always done it. We need to make sure that we are intentional in our leadership. I found this to be, I read an article about Waldheim Mennonite Brethren Church in Waldheim, Saskatchewan. In 2011, when they read The Hemorrhaging Faith, they said, this is a problem and we need to address it. And so the leadership of the church prayed and they sought God and they changed the way that they did things. And lo and behold, the national average is that 33% of people stayed in the church. At Waldheim's Mennonite Brethren Church in Saskatchewan, they have an 80% success rate of keeping people. And why was that? It was because leadership was intentional in what they did. And so leaders, those in the church that are mature in the faith, they need to be intentional in what they're doing. So intentional leadership. We need to create space for the tough questions to be asked. We need to ask ourselves and we need to allow for conversations to take place in the church. Difficult questions. Don't just shut it down. Make sure that you create a space for the tough questions to be asked. And don't just take the simple route. Make sure that you ask the tough questions and follow it through. Create opportunities for meaningful service. This is one of the things that Waldheim Church did. They made sure that ministry was accessible to anybody at any age group, allowing them opportunities to have meaningful service. Again, that whole idea of making sure that they are not just simply entertained, but that they are engaged. And so, and one of the other things is that multi-generational was more successful at helping kids move, stay with the faith than more the silo where you just do your things with your age group. And so multi-generational actually had a far better impact. Intentional transitioning. This one I thought was really fascinating is that intentional transitioning, because most of the time, you know, a kid goes through your system and then they become a young adult and they go off to university somewhere. And the churches that had the highest success rate actually helped them intentionally transition into a church where they were going or a college Christian group that was there. And so they actually contacted people in the other town, helped them in order to be able to intentionally transition into their new community. And in those communities, they were far more successful. They were also committed in prayer to following through. And so that they humbly came before God and asked God to help them in order to be able to try to navigate the crisis that the church is in. And sometimes we have to ask ourselves some hard questions. Are we really committed and dedicated as a church to praying together for significant needs like this? Are we really committed? Are we willing to grow and develop? You know, sometimes we need to take the next step on our faith journey. And that might be deepening yourself in prayer, getting involved in a prayer meeting, praying intentionally about these things. And we need to take a long-term view, because this is not a simple little thing. And the impacts of what is going to happen in the next decade is significant, and it is big. And because we have the potential to lose a generation. And leadership is actually becoming frustrated by it, and many of them are packing it in. And so we need to make sure that we have an intentional long-term view in order to be able to try to, if we, it's not a simple little, well, if we just do these things for the next couple months, that should fix it. No. That's not the way it rolls. We're going to have a long view in seeing this through. I want to leave you with two scriptures, because these two scriptures are really point out two essential components if we want to see this through. Number one, from Galatians 6:9, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Let's not grow weary because it seems like it's too big and it's too hard and it's just going to happen anyway. So why do we need to do this? No. We need to not grow weary in doing good, because we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. In Ephesians 3:20, now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we ever ask or think. You know what? Sometimes I get frustrated because, you know, it seems like the horse is too far out of the barn. You know, the kids have left and they're walking away from faith. And it seems like it's too late. And God is reminding us that he is able. And he can, scripture tells us, he can do much more than we ever asked or imagined. And so let's not give up. Let's not grow weary in doing good. And remember that God is able, even when we think the situation is too far gone, and that that is just irretrievable now. It's not retrievable. God is reminding us that he is able. More than able. So let those two thoughts permeate our mind. The task is big. It's going to take some effort. It's going to take some work. It's going to take some intentionality. But we will not grow weary in doing good, because we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. And God is able to do much more. He's able to retrieve things that we think are so far beyond our abilities to be able to do. And God is able. And so let's hold on to these truths. The task is big. It's going to be difficult to navigate. But with God with us, who can be against us? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you remind us in your word that you are able. And that although it is difficult and it's hard, that if we don't give up, that you are going to accomplish great things. Father, we commit ourselves here at Calendar Bay Church to be parents who want to ground our children in faith, that as parents of teenagers, we want to create places where we can have conversations and to be able to engage with them. And as leadership, we want to be able to adjust and change, to be able to try to help young adults stay in the faith. Thank you that you are able, and that we can lean and we can depend on you. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. In closing, we want to sing. This is a wonderful song, that the gates of hell will not be able to prevail. The great I am. That God is the great I am, and he's able to reach to people's lives today. Let's sing it together.
wanna be close, close to your side. So heaven is real and death is a lie. I wanna hear voices of angels above singing as one. Hallelujah, holy, holy God Almighty, great I am, who is worthy, none beside thee, God Almighty, great I am.
I pray that God would help us to be able to navigate these difficult things that we are going through right now. And particularly in this crisis, which is so close to my heart, I pray that God would help us to be able to help young adults to be able to establish a faith that is going to last them a lifetime and move them into eternity. Well, we are planning on having our first service since the beginning of COVID-19 in March. But you do have to pre-register for that. And so please make sure that you do that by going to our webpage, calendarbaychurch.ca, and you can register for our service. Also, just to let you know that we're going to be continuing our online service as well. And so if you don't feel comfortable at this point with returning to the regular church service, that's okay. We're going to have our online service and you can watch that and just enjoy it from the comfort of your home. But God bless you. May you have an incredible and great week.
Shake before you, their demons run and flee.